Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Reverend John Kerrigan, Deacon of the Catholic community. It is the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle A.
At the moment, I'm reading a book about adversity and resilience. Its author, a prominent psychologist and researcher, Dr. Meg Jay, profiles individuals who, as children, grew up in conditions of extreme hardship. Those, for example, who at a young age lost a parent or a sibling, or were bullied or mistreated, or lived in a household with a problem drinker, or someone suffering from mental illness. Numbered among this group are the likes of Stephen Colbert, LeBron James, Oprah Winfrey, Ronald Reagan, and Barack Obama. Jay describes a surprising pattern among many of those who experienced tough times while growing up. They drew strength from their struggle with hardship and judged it as one of their keys to success. Simply put, they refused to live their lives in fear. Now, don't get me wrong. The majority of men and women who grow up with these kinds of hardships often experience great challenges in life, some of which can inhibit their long-term happiness and their success in relationships. For all of them, though, the struggle is still about refusing to live their life in fear. Now, why do I mention this book, its profiles, and especially the word fear in relationship to today's gospel? I do so because each of those elements has the potential to give us new insights into the text we just heard. So for a moment, let's consider some different ways in which we might approach this reading from Matthew. The simplest would be to turn this parable into an exhortation. That's been done over many years by teachers and preachers alike, resulting in the message, use your talents to the fullest. And there's nothing wrong with that, but can't the same be said in a newspaper advice column, or in a self-help blog, or even in a Chinese cookie? All with no reference to Jesus at all. We need to remind ourselves that the parables of Jesus are not primarily about us. Rather, they're the Lord's way of revealing to us the kind of God with whom we're blessed. Sure, these stories often challenge our attitudes and suggest different behaviors we might undertake, but ultimately, they force us to come face to face with this question: who is God for us? So, with that perspective in mind, let's look at today's reading. The master in Matthew's gospel obviously represents God. But the author has another concern. His focus is on how each servant views the master. Let's begin by taking a look at the steward who was rejected by the boss at the end of the story. This man judges the master as demanding, describing him as a hard man. We can assume that this man lives his life controlled by fear. For he tells the owner, I was afraid, and so I buried your money. Defensive, constricted, and afraid of losing, he's become phobic to risk-taking. Saving his own skin is his top priority. In the readings of the past few Sundays, Jesus reminds us that our fear was the biggest obstacle he had to overcome in order to get us to understand the meaning of his Father's kingdom. The most difficult obstacle in our growth to holiness is that primitive fear that we often feel in the presence of our transcendent God. And so we have to ask ourselves, how can we make sure that we don't live our lives in fear? We might also find an answer to that question by examining how the first two servants in today's story view the master. Compared to the servant discussed previously, we don't find words in the text that clearly reveal their attitude, but we can rely on their actions and deeds to figure out their attitude. And in doing so, what do we discover? That instead of being controlled by fear, it's clear that these two servants trust their master. They take him at his word. Both of them realize that he wants them to be creative and expansive because that's the way he is. His gifts are just that, gifts given away and put into their hands. He wants them, and in turn us, to act and take risks, to refuse to live our lives in fear. These two servants knew from experience just what kind of master they were working with. Having experienced his trust before, they knew that the actions they were taking would lead to a deeper sense of intimacy and joy with him. They realized, of course, that he would hold them accountable eventually, but they also understood that accountability would not center around how much money they made, but the manner in which they used the trust that he had extended to them. In contrast, the servant who was rejected at the end of the story was put out not for failing to make more money, but because he failed to go out into the market, out into life. God asks us to believe in ourselves because God believes in us. That's true of us as individuals, and it's equally true of us as a community of faith, for we're called to be bold in proclaiming the fulfillment of God's promise in each of us. We must live in the light, not in the darkness of fear. God is hardly a severe and demanding master waiting to pounce on us. Who would waste their time on someone like that? No, our God is a faithful lover who walks with us, who invites us into an ever-deepening intimacy and joy. Let me tell you why all this matters to me. For me, growing up in New York City was the equivalent of falling down a long flight of stairs on rollerblades, trying to balance a large pot of chili at the same time. In other words, a few bumps and a bit messy. But at the bottom of the stairs and all along the way, there were many saints to support me and to help me to learn to live not out of fear, but in the light of love. There were certain members of my family and teachers, nuns, brothers, and friends. Take a minute to consider a time in your life when you had to conquer fear. Was it when you defended a friend or a colleague in his or her absence, or spoke out about a deeply held but unpopular belief? Perhaps it was at a time when you worked to overcome a negative image of yourself, or when you felt as though you weren't deserving of another person's love. How did you feel when you stepped up and faced your fear, and then moved beyond it? Did you feel proud or courageous? Perhaps you sensed a growing sense of self-respect, or maybe you found yourself saying, "Hey, that wasn't so bad after all." In her book on adversity and resilience, Professor Jay suggests some techniques for coping that could be interpreted as downright religious approaches to life, such as looking at curveballs as challenges rather than threats. She advises us to strengthen through practice that muscle called courage and to reach out to family and friends. For seeking support is what resilient people do. All that sounds like a very Christian approach to suffering, doesn't it? Persistence in prayer, acts of charity, and participation in a community beyond our individual bubble. Finally, you and I need to frequently remind ourselves about those moments when we have been courageous and strong, and give ourselves credit for all the times when we've refused to live our lives in fear. In doing so, we will discover that we're not only more resilient than we think, but like the two servants in today's story, that we're loved by God in ways that are 2, 5, 1,000 times greater than we could ever imagine.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.